book of Exodus. Exodus is the second book of the Bible. Find, if you would, please, chapter number 14. Exodus chapter number 14. And this will be our text tonight. I do not anticipate going outside of the 14th chapter of the book of Exodus. I have asked God to allow tonight's message to build upon the message from this morning from the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. As we were looking at that seventh trumpet being blown and the announcement that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, we understand that as the announcement of the millennial kingdom. We know that that's going to be set up upon the earth. We understand that as far as biblical prophecy. I hope and pray that you know that as far as biblical prophecy in the daily practical part of your life. One of my points this morning was settled on the power of God. The 420 elders recognized in that announcement God's great authority and God's great ability in the Lord Jesus. And as he would take the reins of the earth and he would unfold his will and his plan. And I paused in the morning message this morning just to challenge you as to your belief and understanding and trust on the omnipotence of our God. Do you believe, do God's people believe that our God is all-powerful? And the evidence of that belief we talked about there was evidenced by the way that they were worshiping the Lord. And the way that they were worshiping the Lord is that they were able to give thanks to God. And we said that the ability to thank God in the midst of the moments of our life is evidence that we trust God. That we trust God in many unique ways, but that we trust him wholly. And so I wanted to piggyback that tonight. And when you think about or when you study the power of God, on the Old Testament, you always have to go back to the coming or the exodus of the nation of Israel out of Egypt. In the New Testament, when you want to study the all-powerfulness of God, God brings us to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so I want to come to Exodus chapter 14 tonight to once again settle our heart and minds on the power of God. And in a practical way in your life that I hope you will never forget from this message. And I want to preach to you tonight a message simply entitled, No U-Turns Permitted. No U-Turns Permitted. I hope and pray that from now on in the rest of your life, whenever you see a no U-turn sign, you will remember this message. I hope and pray that it will spur your heart and your mind. Our society and where we live in South Florida, our traffic patterns depend upon the ability to make U-turns. And I don't know about you, but a U-turn can be a tremendously frustrating event in the life of a driver. Normally, where there is a no U-turn sign makes no sense. I find as I travel the city and I miss my turn, it's at the next turn that I want to make a U-turn. But now instead of making a U-turn, I can't. Now I got to make a left-hand turn. I got to go into a shopping center. I got to go through a gas station. I got to turn around. I got to do that. I'm probably a little bit like you, and I have made some U-turns where U-turns are not permitted. Every one of you ought to shake your head. Yes, you should, right? We understand the frustration of a no U-turn sign in an intersection. However, the traffic patterns have been studied. Men with so-called wisdom and degrees and understanding safety and how things move have decided based upon studies that it is dangerous for a U-turn to be permitted in this intersection. So they have a sign up there, not to drive your pastor crazy, but to protect our lives. And I have found, so fitting is this application when it comes to our lives, because I do believe There is an intersection that God brings his people to that is not designed to drive you nuts, but it is designed to show you the power of God and his deliverance in your life. And I want you to come to Exodus chapter 14. You know the history of this. The nation of Israel is coming out of Egypt. And God has led them through the plagues, and God has enabled them to be able to go out, and God has enabled them to make their way now. And you find that they're coming to the Red Sea. This is the context of that in chapter number 13. As you end that, verse number 18, God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. As you know the story of the Exodus, you know that Pharaoh realizes he made a mistake. You understand that in realizing making a mistake of letting the children of Israel go, rage and fury builds within his heart. God needed rage and fury to build within his heart. And the Bible says that Pharaoh begins to pursue the nation of Israel. And he pursues them aggressively. He pursues them hard. The pursuit is so intense that the nation of Israel fears for their very, very life. Matter of fact, they're so broken over this pursuit. If you would come with me, please, to verse number 11. This is their cry when they recognize what God is doing, or what Pharaoh is doing. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, say those three words out loud, please. Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better, there's a ridiculous statement, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. So they've just come through all of these plagues. They've been delivered as a nation. They're in the wilderness now. Now they're facing the pursuit of Pharaoh, and they're scared out of their mind. And this is their response to this. Their response to this is, you've brought us out here to die. Why could you not just leave us alone? Let me put a little parenthesis here and let you know something. Pastor, I'm sick and tired of the devil always bothering me. Most Christians, it's not the devil bothering you, it's God bothering you. Pastor, why won't God just leave me alone? God doesn't leave any of his people alone. Ever. He's never going to leave you alone in your six-figure job, in your comfy little house, and just let you be tucked away and live your life. That's not what God does. He's constantly moving in the life of his kid. And the nation of Israel said, just leave us alone. Now watch their perspective here. It would have been better if we served the Egyptians. Think about what they're saying here. Better that we serve the Egyptians than that we serve God. To me, that's ridiculous. It's better that we had served them than died in the wilderness. God didn't do all that God had done so that they could die in the wilderness. So they've got this perspective here. Now watch where God brings them. And this is the intersection I need you to understand. Come, if you would, to verse number 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Say those next two words. Circle them. Circle them. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel. Finish this verse, please. Okay, so circle that. So in verse number 13, stand still. In verse number 15, go forward. Excuse me? Huh? You're telling me to stand still, and now you're telling me to go forward. how in the world can I stand still and go forward? That doesn't even make sense. It makes perfect sense. And if you don't understand the intersection in your life of standing still and going forward, then you're going to miss verse number 13 in your life. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see or reckon the, what's those four words? Salvation of the Lord or the deliverance of the Lord. So God's got the nation of Israel pinned in. I'll show you this in a moment. And he's got them in an intersection where he's got a purpose for this. And the announcement is, I want you to stand still and I want you to go forward. Well, Pastor, I don't understand how you can do both. When he's reminding them and talking to them about standing still, he's talking to them about fear. You see the word fear right there by stand still. When he's talking to them about going forward, he's right beside that verse, faith. We're at the intersection here where fear has got to meet faith. You will find that constantly, you that want to follow the Lord and know the Lord and walk in his will, you are going to constantly be in the intersection where fear is going to have to meet faith. And if you don't navigate your way through that intersection, you're never going to see the delivering hand or the powerful hand of God move in your life. It is at this intersection where fear meets faith that most of God's people want to make a U-turn and get me out of here. I don't want to be in that intersection. I don't want to deal with that problem. I want to be left alone. I don't want to have to deal with that. And so I'm looking for some way that I can U-turn out of this intersection because I feel like a crash is coming. Let me explain something to you. Inside the perfect will of God is the perfect place for you to be. You want to crash, you start navigating your own life. So there's this announcement. Stand still, because fear is driving them crazy. Fear has driven them crazy in their mind. They're getting ready to scatter. And they're getting ready to turn and go back this direction. And Moses says, wait. Stop. Stand there. Now God comes and God says, go forward. He's not talking about them per se in that moment, surely going forward physically, although they're going to, but he's talking about them going forward by faith. So there's going to be times in your life in that intersection where fear is going to strike your heart and you're going to want to run, but God's moving. I'll show you that in a moment. And the demand of God is going to be at the same time you're standing still, you're going forward by faith. And God's people will always be pushed by God to walk by faith. Pastor, I just want him to leave me alone. He's not going to do that. Why? Because God gets great glory in testing your faith for your good. Okay? So, Pastor, when I get brought to the intersection there where fear meets faith and I want a U-turn bad, you're saying God wants me to stop and stand there, but at the same time, God wants me to operate forward by faith. How am I going to do that? There's some things you need to know. Come back to verse number 1. Let me show you. Chapter 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they, what's that word? Turn and encamp where they are to encamp. So who navigated the nation of Israel? Who told them to turn? God did. So God told them to turn right. God's bringing them to this intersection where all they have is the Red Sea in front of them. They've got cliffs on both sides of them, and they've got Pharaoh behind them. Now, they're all shook up, but God's not all shook up. And this is God moving them. It's God that told them to turn. The last thing you want to do is make a U-turn when God said to turn. And so God will do this in your life. God will turn your job completely different than you ever thought. God will turn relationships completely different than you ever thought. God will turn finances completely different than you ever thought. Pastor, I've got my whole life planned. I have found that God really don't care about my life plan. He cares about his plan. Now, watch how this unfolds. God doesn't do anything without purpose. And God has a reason he's turning them. Verse number 3. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be, say that word, honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. That phrase, I am honored, you will find again mentioned in verse 17. This is how he says it in verse 17. I will get me honor. Verse number 18. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor. So as you read those three words, you would say that God's pretty concerned about his honor, his glory. And so picture this. God says to the nation, I'm going to use you to get me honor and glory. I need you to turn this way. As they turn this way, God brings them according to his plan and according to his purpose, and God is navigating them to this intersection. Now, when they get to this intersection, fear begins to creep in and they want to run. God's, and Moses said, whoa, stand there or you're going to miss out on what God's going to do. And I am convinced that many of God's people, because we run away so quickly and we don't have patience with the Lord, we miss out on the great things that God wants to do in our life. Listen, God has great plans for you. And Moses said, now stand there. And God says to Moses, now encourage them to go forward. Yeah, but I don't see a way forward. Oh, that's interesting. Look, if you would, at verse 16. Watch how God makes this way go forward. But lift up thou thy rod, stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on, say those two words, dry ground. With their physical eye, they didn't see a way. But listen, God's way forward has to be seen by faith. It always has to be seen by faith, and it has to be followed by obedience. So God has a plan. God has a purpose. And if you look at this, look if you would at verse number 19. Once they do this, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. And as you read that passage in that scripture, you will find that not only does God unfold a plan, not only does he have a purpose in mind, but God has great power here. And so God has unfolded by faith a direction. God has unfolded by power, protection in their life. And when you read the rest of that chapter, you will find that all of that comes to fruition. The nation of Israel is delivered. They never see the Egyptians again. And I love verse number 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that, say those two words, great work, which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord, and they believed the Lord and his servant Moses. It's 6:34, and I'm done. God God is always going to bring you to the intersection where your fear has got to meet faith. Your natural tendency is going to be to U-turn out of that. But you got to remember, it was God that turned you to that moment. It is God that has a plan. It is God that has a purpose. And it is God's power that he's able to unfold in this situation. If you U-turn out, you're going to miss the great things God has done. Stand there. Trust the Lord. Believe upon him. Yield to him. And then as you make your way forward, just because you don't see a way forward doesn't mean there's not a way forward. As long as you have God, you have a way. That's right. Amen? Can't you turn out of that? I am convinced that this is the way you better live your life. I am convinced this is the way that you'll see the great things that God has. I am convinced that God is not going to leave you alone. He is constantly going to drive you into situations where he can say about Malcolm Redmond, I am going to use you to get me honor. I am going to use you, Beverly Theaker, to get me honor. I am going to use you, Rod Marion, to get me honor. I am going to use you, Mark Nading, to get me honor. I am going to use you, Jane Vishalba, to get me honor. I will use my people to get me honor. I think that's a great privilege. Okay? He's not trying to crash you. He's trying to use you. That intersection, don't you turn out of that. You'll miss the great things God can do in your life. Shall we pray?